the president of Football Tasmania, Bob Gordon, joins us via Zoom. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks, George. It's great to be meeting by Zoom and having a talk to you.
Well, we'd love ordinarily to be able to catch up with you in person, either have you here or us down there talking about football, but this will do for the time being. It's been a very awkward time and a time of great disruption in Australia. Tasmania, not so much. You keep telling me that life is very different on the Apple Isle. Is that right?
It's been up and down. So we went down into lockdown March last year for pretty well 3 months, pretty hard. And as you're probably aware, all the member federations in consultation with Football Australia decided that we would postpone the season because there was too much uncertainty. I think, unfortunately, Victoria was the worst affected. We managed to get a full season, but later, which caused a few challenges in terms of scheduling grounds. Our biggest challenge down here is just the lack of grass that we've got available for our participants. According to the AusPlay stats, we've got 40,000 participants. The next biggest team sport's got half that.
Wow.
And wow. And
is government, are we talking to government? Are they receptive to the fact that we've got some great numbers, boys and girls? And, of course, one of them has been a shining light for the Oleroos. Nathaniel Atkinson has been a shining light for Melbourne City, but he's been a revelation at the Olympic tournament, playing some wonderful football and leading the way and just showing us what a young boy from Riverside can do in Launceston.
Yeah, the only time I've been to Melbourne in the last 18 months is to go to the A-League Grand Final and watch Nathaniel play. And I thought in that game he showed real leadership qualities. He inspired his team towards the end when they were all looking a bit tired. I thought it was he did a great game. And having travelled to Japan many times in their summer, the heat and humidity there is just one of the most sapping things you can have. You're just exhausted just walking from place to place. And for him to keep running up and down like he did was just really impressive. And again, I think he lifted the team. And again, one of the things...
We missed him last night, Bob.
We did. Yeah, I think they all looked a bit ragged after halftime. I think, the conditions probably got to them a bit and they were short a couple of their better players, and I think it just sort of, they got a bit worn out.
I'm really impressed that you can give us that insight, because people readily make a judgment on what they see, and unless they've experienced, as you have, these conditions in Japan, they can't possibly realise how difficult they are to play in.
Correct. And I think the last time there was a World Cup, it was Japan and South Korea.
That's right.
I managed to get to one game in South Korea because I was doing some business there, and they said, would you like to go to a game? And I just thought they meant a local game. We turned up and it was in Busan down the south. But it was a lot later in the year. So it wasn't quite as it is really stifling, and it's really quite draining. It's probably fine in the pool and kayaking and maybe even rowing, but I think in the longer athletics events, it will really hit quite a few of them.
Well, that's something to keep in mind. What have you made? What have you made of the last few months? Football Tasmania, of course. You've had some changes on the board. You've got some new people now.
We've had a fairly consistent board, and we've got a skills-based board, so we're a bit like Football Australia. Our board is based on skills, and you can't have a position in a club. So it's and again, we've got some pretty impressive people on it. There'll be a few changes in the next couple of months. We try and keep a rotation to keep the board refreshed. Again, I think we're probably one of the few jurisdictions that has 50-50 men and women, and we've got a mixture of experienced business people, lawyers, chartered accountants, and it has been pretty tough for everyone since COVID hit. For a while, if we hadn't got JobKeeper and the state government hadn't agreed to kick in some money to keep us going so we could restart the season, it would have been pretty tough for everyone. And you asked before about government support. We've been really pleased with the support we've got both from the state government during the recent state election and the state opposition, who basically matched their commitments. And at a federal level, of course, the sports minister is a Tasmanian from Devonport, Richard Colbeck. who's a great supporter of the game. I think it was the day he was appointed as sports minister, I rang him and said, Richard, I think you need to go to the World Cup in France. And he went in quite, you know, it was a real effort for him to go. But I think he came back with an understanding of just how big the world game is and the huge opportunities there are for Australia and New Zealand when the World Cup comes here in 2023. And we've been working really closely.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're excited by that possibility.
Yeah, we have the nation's highest participation rate of females in Tasmania.
Is that right?
And it's increasing quite substantially. But again, it comes back to the challenge of just not enough suitable grounds. Have you been to Hobart?
Yes, I have. And I've been to Launceston as well. It's been some time. The question I was going to ask you is, what are the chances, the possibilities of artificial pitches coming in and sort of stepping in and being a sort of halfway area? If we can't get the full grounds that we need, what about artificial pitches? Can they help?
So we've got two artificial pitches currently in Hobart.
Right.
And we've got some funding from Andrew Wilkie, our local MP, through the federal government for another artificial pitch in the northern suburbs of Hobart. But one of the challenges is both Hobart and Launceston, the only flat bits of ground used to be tips.
Yes.
Or landfill. And so it's a bit more expensive. We do have one location in Launceston that we're hoping that the federal member for Bass, Bridget Archer, may be able to provide some funds for. It would, again, be a community facility. So most of our facilities are used by other people, local groups, those sorts of things. But, yeah, it would be great because we have to make the best use of the available space we have, and that includes better lighting so that you can train at night. And, again, I think if you look at an artificial pitch with good lights, it's probably worth four grass pitches without lights in terms of the amount of use you can get out of the ground.
Absolutely. Josh Parrish has been very keen to hear what your thoughts are on an A-League licence for Tassie.
Well, it's obviously been pretty challenging the last 2 years, the A-League, with the separation from Football Australia and all the transition arrangements. And then, of course, two disrupted seasons with COVID has made it very, very difficult for everyone. But as we keep on saying, you can't really have a national competition without every state in it. Now, of course, Victorian Rules manages to do it because it's just run from Melbourne and it's really only Melbourne-based teams that just change their name and move to another city.
But we love you, Bob. We love you, Bob. You tell them.
But in our sport, there have been quite a few Tasmanians, and there still are, that were playing in the A-League. But the big challenge for us is there's even more that have been selected in the play-on squads or the Joey squads. And it's a huge effort to leave home when you're 15 or 16. I mean, I went through that with my oldest son. And my third son, one of his best mates, they played in the state teams together. He ended up, his parents moved to England.
Wow.
So he could play in the Premier League, which he did for several years. He's just come back to Tassie now. But it's a huge commitment. Whereas if we can get, and it's not just A-League, it's Y-League and W-League team in Tassie, then that offers the pathway for those kids. It offers them a chance to see what it's like to train and play at a higher level. And my oldest son was playing the top league in Tasmania when he was 15. Wow. That was the only competition really that matched his capacity. So it is pretty difficult. And there's certainly a lot of support from the state government. The Premier has come out in principle supporting an A-League team and supporting the construction of a multiple-use rectangular stadium, which could also be used for other rectangular field sports like rugby union and rugby league, and also for concerts and those sorts of things. So we're well down the path.
I was going to say, we talked to David Clarkson last week, and he said to me that he had some wonderful sponsors lined up a couple of years ago, and I'm sure that given another opportunity, there is a fantastic chance to see Tasmania finally get anointed as another A-League city and a meaningful one, because, as you said, there's a tremendous participation rate. We'd love to see it translated into players in major competition, wouldn't we, Josh?
Absolutely. I was going to ask, given the biggest female participation percentage being in Tasmania. Would Tasmania consider going in for a W League license as a standalone or as a starting point to try and get into the A League, a la Canberra United?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we probably prefer to go the whole hog. Mm. Again, if we're really serious about developing the game, then, you know, I often go to the juniors because our grandson plays. And it's just sheer joy. It's just wonderful to watch those littlies running around, having the time of their life. And if they can see what it's like to get to the next level and the next level and the next level,
yeah,
then we'll keep them in the game. You know, they learn responsibility. They learn teamwork. They learn a whole range of life skills from our game that I don't think other sports have the same sort of capacity to develop. And what we'd really like, and that's where I get the joy out of my involvement with the game, is really the littlies. You know, I love watching the Matildas and the Socceroos, but when I ask 5 and 6 year olds, they're not really sure who they are. they know they're going to play, you know, the next primary school next week. But when you say you're watching the national teams, they do when they get to teenagers. But at that level, they just love the game. They just sheer joy. And we need to make sure that there's the capacity for those kids who just want to play socially to play socially, and for those that aspire to make a living out of it or play for their country, we need to have a pathway for them, and they need to be able to see it.
Bob Gordon is our guest on State of Our Football Nation on Football Nation Radio, FNR. George Deneke, Josh Parrish. Bob, I would love you to promise us that we do this more regularly. We'd love to keep a pathway to Tassie and to give not only Football Tasmania every opportunity to tell its story, but to keep building and telling us about the state of play and how things are progressing, especially as we all prepare for a World Cup in less than 2 years from today. Isn't that amazing?
Pretty exciting, really.
Yeah. Is there any chance that we may well see some of the games played in Hobart or Launceston?
No, we didn't win the lottery to get games here, but we've been working really hard with the state government and with the federal government to have the capacity for 3 base camps.
Right, so training facilities for the teams,
yeah,
huh?
Correct. And, you know, we've been telling them all that, you know, most of Australia's a big desert, you know, but we're quite different down here, and it'll be much more like training in their own countries.
Bob Gordon, all you've got to do is tell them it's in the water and show them that Nathaniel Atkinson is a Riverside boy that came from there, and what drives him is the sort of magic elixir that you can offer all those guest teams that come down under.
Correct. That's what we'll be doing. Thanks, George. Great marketing. Great marketing there.
Bob, all the very, very best to you. Thanks so very much. And let's make sure we do this regularly.